This is Dish and Dirt with Gary Pickren, South Carolina's only podcast dedicated to the real estate agent craft. And now, the host of Dish and Dirt, Gary Pickren.
And greetings, welcome back everyone to another episode of Dish and Dirt. I'm your often opinionated but rarely wrong host, Gary Pickren, coming to you from Blair Cato Pickren Castellon in beautiful downtown Columbia, this the last week of May 2023. Our episode this week is going to be a three-part series talking about financial independence, finding that freedom financially as a real estate agent so that you're not chasing deals from one deal to the other, which is what a lot of people feel like they do. They always feel like they're chasing this deal to the next deal to the next deal to the next deal. Well, the guest this week is a guy named Matt Cavanaugh. He's incredible. He is the host of the Freedom Chasers podcast. The show is dedicated to helping real estate investors, agents, and other entrepreneurs chase that dream of becoming financially independent and financially free. It's all about freedom, financial freedom. And so he's going to start on this series for us this week about how real estate agents have all the tools already before you to get that freedom, to get that financial freedom and that financial independence that we're all searching for. So an incredible podcast. We'll start here with Matt Cavanaugh. Before we do that, I wanted to also give a shout out to my sponsor again. This episode is Soul System Shoes in Greenville. Y'all know I love my Dunks. I love my Air Jordans. And if you came to our Real Estate Success Summit, you saw where we got to give away a pair of Nike Pandas. If you are at all a shoe nerd, shoe sneakerhead, whatever you want to call it, you cannot go wrong buying your shoes from Soul System in Greenville. It's on Lawrence Road. Check out Soul System Shop online. I'm going to put the link below. And for all of my listeners, I'm also going to give you a discount code that you can use if you go online. You can buy two pairs of shoes and get a big discount. Or if you go in person, just tell them that code and they will give you the discount at the counter. So let's go ahead and start with our show today. And Matt, we're going to go ahead and start with him. All right, guys. So joining me today is Matt Cavanaugh. He is an entrepreneur, a math teacher, salesperson, strategic planner, negotiator, real estate investor, and even the host of the Freedom Chasers podcast, a show that interviews real estate investors, agents, and other entrepreneurs choosing to pursue a life of purpose and freedom. He also happens to be a very successful real estate agent and team leader in California. Matt believes he can help others find their opportunities and turn that into reality. Today, he makes an impact on helping entrepreneurs chase financial and time freedom. If you could give me four more hours in my day, I'd pay you whatever you want because I need more time freedom. So right, that's on. A big mess for me right now. But financial freedom, I think, is certainly something every real estate agent needs to learn more about. So welcome to Dish and Dirt, Matt.
Thank you, man. Pleasure to be here.
I have a lot of good things to talk about because as you and I talked about as we were starting our show, is that real estate agents do struggle with financial freedom and time freedom. But I really want to talk about financial freedom. So can you kind of talk us through your journey? I mean, you were a math teacher working in high school, basically, or I think it was high school, making very little money, not being appreciated. And at some point, something triggered in your mind and said, real estate's the world for me. And I think real estate agents that are teachers first make actually great real estate agents. So kind of talk about your history of how you got here and started looking for financial freedom.
Yeah, I mean, as a teacher, I obviously had a desire to change the world, to help kids, you know, to get their mind with the light bulb on and all that, those sorts of things. And then you realize like some of the difficulties, right? The fact that pay-wise, we couldn't support a family. And even though we had a really tiny salary, they cut our pay 8.5% in 2009. Took us from a $40,000 contract down to like a $36,000 contract. After paying the $800 a month we had to pay for health insurance, we were making $25,000 a year. And so we just determined in California that was not a viable option for us. And so, you know, we looked for other opportunities. I had no clue what I was going to do. And in fact, my wife told me not to change. She said, I know it's not much, but it's better that you do this noble profession than whatever you might do. So when I chose B2B sales, she was not excited about it. And ultimately didn't think I would succeed, but she wasn't going to stop me, partially because I'm pretty perseverant anyways. But nonetheless, got into B2B sales and that completely changed my world, recognizing that sales is just helping people, asking the right questions. And when you're a teacher, you have to ask the right questions. So that was a pretty good tie there. And then all of a sudden income changes and opportunity changes. Fast forward without overloading your listeners with too many details, but I created some software and did a few things at the B2B job that made me realize that one, I had the skill set, I had the knowledge to run a business, and I wasn't being appreciated enough in the corporate world. And so I said, you know, I'm going to try my hand at real estate. And if I'm wrong, if I'm overappreciating myself, the market's going to tell me. If I'm right, then I'm going to do okay. And so 3.5 years in the sales role was enough for me. And then I left for real estate.
When you were a teacher and you were looking to make that move from being a teacher to a real estate agent, was that move because you were looking for that financial freedom, or was it that time you were just looking to make more money?
Yeah, I mean, it was like if they would have paid me $10,000 more, I would have probably stayed. You know, $15,000. I was not in the financial freedom mindset at that point. This was just like, hey, I'm doing what I love. I'm serving kids. You know, I could do this my whole life. But especially when you combine the $25,000 net take home with the fact that they were telling me exactly how to do my job every day, I didn't even have the freedom to choose what lesson plan, right? It was, you teach this lesson plan this way. And I thought, man, like, this is so opposite of freedom that I need to like see what else is out there.
So you start building this real estate team. How successful were you from the beginning in real estate, and how long did it take you to get to a point where you started seeing the financial rewards?
Pretty early on. So basically, because I didn't go from teaching to real estate, I went from teaching to B2B sales. So I had done the door knocking and the phone blocking for 3.5 years, had built some sales processes. So when I came into real estate, I had a sales background. So I immediately got into calling expireds and for sale by owners and doing open houses. So I did, I think it was 30 transactions in the first 9 months. I left March of 2015. By the end of that year, I closed 30 transactions. I think it was like $225,000 in GCI approximately. So, you know, it was a pretty good start for me. We doubled it the next year and then doubled it again the following year by building a small team. So by year three, we did over 100 transactions.
So when you talk about B2B sales, so some of the listeners who might not be familiar with that term, why don't you tell them what that means?
Yeah, so it's business to business. So like, as agents, we're business to consumer, generally speaking, unless if we're commercial, of course. But so B2B is like, I would go to businesses and sell contract services for this company.
So what kind of numbers is your team doing now? I mean, how big is your team and what are y'all looking at now?
Yeah, it's actually much smaller, doing less volume. So basically, after ramping up for about 4 or 5 years, I recognized, okay, you know, I should do some investing. And then I started investing right before the pandemic. Well, I made more in a couple of investment transactions than hundreds of agent transactions. And so what I did is I told the team, hey, this is the direction I'm going. If you want to come with me and invest too, that's great. If you don't, no big deal. You can stay as long as you want. But we're not going to be building the team or recruiting anymore. We're going to move the needle and focus on investing. So some of the people are now investing. Some decided not to. But for me, it just became very obvious that, you know, if I went and bought a property that had long-term cash flow or a lot of profit, I could transfer that profit into cash flow. And it seemed like it was somewhere between a 10-to-1 and 100-to-1 better outcome investing than doing the agent work. So
what was it that led you to start looking for this financial freedom? You're as an agent, you're building it, you're becoming successful, but then you just say, I can do better doing something else. What was the, was there an event or precipice that pushed you to that point?
Yeah, totally. So basically, I think most agents can attest, even the ones that are highly productive. I mean, you might make a good income, but you're still working a job, right? You have a very, very high paying job. And okay, so you build a system and teams, you're often still fairly involved. I mean, some of the best team leaders obviously can get completely out of production, but that's a very small percentage of people. So I had a friend that was continually hitting on me like, hey man, you got to do these investments. You got to do these investments. You got to do these investments. And eventually I just got tired of hearing him say it. And so I literally just changed what I would tell people from, you know, just all I do is an agent work to like, hey, I do buy properties as well. It led to me buying 2 properties, both of which created a 6-figure profit. That profit got transferred into some rentals. And I went from 0 to $11,300 in contract rents on 5 houses and 3 deals. And it was like, whoa, this was like more than I'd accumulated in 5 years as an agent. You know, and obviously I used some of the money I had saved as an agent. So it's not, mm-hmm. you know, entirely the investing piece, but it just made me realize like time as an investor, transactions as an investor is just a lot better for building financial freedom than being an agent.
A lot of agents have started to dabble in the world of real estate investments. And every year, kind of ebb and flow. Some years you see a lot of the big agents get into rental houses. Then you start seeing them getting into the nasty word flips, you know, buy property and fix it up and then rehab it and flip it. Do you think you can reach financial freedom as a real estate agent, just being a single agent? Is that possible?
No, because I mean, even if you make a tremendous amount of income, you still have to invest that income somewhere. And so at the end, you have to be a real estate investor, or you have to invest in stocks or some form of something that brings in return. So my thought was because I have to invest the money I make anyways, might as well actually focus there. Now, there are people that I really respect and admire that do it really well. Like there's a guy in a team 30 minutes north of me. He makes north of $2 million a year as a team leader. Mm. So you know, you could say, well, he's financially free because his team production produces a $2 million a year profit.
Right.
So, yes, I mean, I guess it's possible, but generally that freedom comes through building a team and have them doing all the work. But the level of skill and leadership and culture and all the things you have to make that happen, I believe that the level of skill to become a financially free investor is way lower than the level of skill needed to build a successful agent team.
Well, I have zero skill when it comes to investing. I'm the one who bought crypto like literally the week it crashed. So hopefully you can teach me how to figure out this skill because I have none. Whatever I buy the opposite. That's my advice to you all financially. You've talked about financial freedom a bunch here. What do we mean? What do you mean when you talk about being financially free? Obviously, living paycheck to paycheck is not financial freedom, but are we talking being a millionaire to get financial freedom? What are we looking at?
Yeah. So I actually interviewed a guy named Jack Gibson, and I think he gave a really thorough definition that I really love. And he talks about it in levels. So, you know, your first level is to actually build enough income passively or we say the word passive, but just like through, say, properties, which is not technically passive, that it can supply your basic wants and needs. Like, can you, you know, have housing? Can you have food? The next level is, can you feel comfortable leaving your W-2 job? And then the next level is, can you live the lifestyle that you're living now? Then can you live the lifestyle that you want to live? And then can you live in complete extravagance? So those are his five levels of financial freedom. And so generally speaking, I would say just like, you know, can people move from the level they're at to the next level? You know, and so even if you choose, and this is actually can be a good option for a lot of people, if you love what you do, stay where you're at, but just at least build the freedom so you have the choice. My first year in teaching was a lot better than my second year because they replaced the entire administration. And the first year administration was very, very awesome. The second year administration was not so awesome. Mm. And so that's what I would say. When we say financial freedom, you know, it's somewhere on that spectrum. So for me, I don't really care about the crazy level 4 and 5 levels of financial freedom. Those are as important to me as just getting to a level that I can live a decent life without having to do any one particular thing.
Is creating multiple streams of income, you talked about passive income, is that kind of the formula for this now? Because, you know, I'm a lawyer. I've been a lawyer for my whole life. This has been my one stream of income. My wife's a teacher. That's her stream of income. But I constantly have felt like if I had that other stream of income that could just supplement this or pay for kids' college, it would make such a huge difference in my life.
Yeah, I think multiple streams are good for multiple reasons. I mean, I think diversity being the one key thing is that, you know, like, let's say if all your income is in straight single family rental properties, as you know, as a lawyer, laws across the country are changing as far as whether or not you can collect rent and what that takes. So I think, you know, having rental properties is already a good differentiator from, you know, your job, as many of our jobs might get replaced or augmented by AI and so on and so forth. So there's just so many factors, but I would say, you know, if you could build somewhere between 2 and 5 streams of income that have varying levels of, like, they do better or worse in changing markets. Like if, for example, if you invest in wine, you generally do really, really well in down markets. Whereas, you know, so I would say diversity could be really huge. For me, my first elements of investing are going to be in the things that I know best.
Right.
So investing in my active business and then investing in real estate, which I know the best. And then after I get set there, then money start going into other buckets.
And I like that because I think a lot of people in real estate want that second stream. But I don't know how to think about cars. I'm not going to go out and start flipping Mercedes and Lamborghinis. I have a friend who did that. I don't know anything about it. So do something that's already in my line of business, whether it's education of real estate, whether it's investing in real estate or whatever. And I think that's a very good sound point. So once you started on this journey to financial freedom, how long did it take you once you decided I got to have financial freedom, I'm going to start looking in this investment world? How long did it take you to get that journey where you started seeing results and then started realizing, okay, I think I've reached a point where I can consider myself financially free?
Yeah. So I think, so 2018 was when I bought my first investment property for, you know, for a long-term hold. And so from that point, I mean, it just took a couple years and a few transactions to get to a place where my basic bills are paid. Cause we bought 2 properties, 1031 exchanged them. And then when we bought those 3 properties with those, we were free and clear on them. We've since taken out mortgages on them, but we were free and clear. And the contract rents were $11,300, which, coming from a teacher background, $11,300 a month, even with a little bit of expenses on those properties, that's sufficient for me to live. So that took literally 5 transactions or 3 transactions, 5 properties in 2 years to accomplish.
Let's talk about financial freedom in the realm of being a real estate agent. There's a lot of real estate agents, as we talked earlier about, that just feel like they're chasing one deal after the other, and it's literally living from one commission to the next commission. And they feel like they're never going to get that true financial freedom. So how do we tell these agents, what do we say to get them out of this rut and get them started down this road to financial freedom? What's your advice to them?
Well, I think first of all, I mean, it's kind of like the Robert Kiyosaki, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad concept. I mean, I think they have to really truly want and grasp the concept that, I mean, there's such a thing as vertical income and horizontal income. Like, I mean, there's income you work for and there's income from what you own. And so once they're fully bought in on the concept of like, I need to start transitioning to an ownership mindset, then the second thing I think it has to happen on a mindset level is there has to be an element of like reevaluating risk. I for whatever reason, I think people just don't, they view owning rental properties as like the riskiest thing ever. And they view being a real estate agent as not being as risky, when in reality, it's complete inverse. Like if you buy a property, it's going to pay out more income, way more than you may or may not get a commission check. So I think it's just an assignment of their resources, their time, their hours, and saying, hey, this year I'm going to be 10% investor. Next year I'm going to be 20 or 30, whatever that case is. Push yourself farther than you initially feel comfortable with and get a mentor that can help guide you so you don't make huge mistakes. But at the end of the day, I mean, the more real estate you own or the more investments that you own, the freer you're going to be.
I think a lot of agents forget they are a small business, and small businesses fail all over the country. So I think we have to kind of look at ourselves as a small business and say, what is it that's going to make me stand out? What's going to make me successful? And have that mindset that I already am a risk taker. I tell people all the time, if you don't want risk, then you need to go get a job at Walmart and be the greeter at the door. Of course, there's risk that somebody's going to walk in, steal something, and pop you on the head when you try to stop them. So there's even risk working at Walmart. But you're right. So some reason in our industry, investing in real estate is looked at as this complete crazy risk. Why would you put your whole family and everything you own at risk? But we may go a whole month without having a single buyer or seller client complete a transaction and get paid. I've never understood that disconnect.
Exactly. Yeah, it's 100% same. And like I had just some really amazing people in my life that have really great jobs, multiple six-figure jobs. And, you know, they some of them have lost their jobs recently due to changes in the economy and whatnot. And so I had conversations with them and I've just been shocked that they're like, hey, I need to go work for another big company. And I'm like, the same type of companies that just laid you off, like with your skill sets, it might take you 6 months or a year to get up to speed, but then you're going to make what you'd make in those jobs and way more. So it is really surprising to me. I think like if people can take a philosophical lens and take a step back and really analyze like how they're actually viewing these relationships and their relationship to corporate America or whatnot, they could actually see the world in a much more like objectively true sense.
I truly believe you'll never get true financial freedom working for somebody else. It's just not possible.
Brutally difficult. Yeah, at the best.
I mean, the best you can do is hope that you continue to rise up in the ranks to become one of the top 1% of leaders in that company. But yeah. Then, like you said, even that day, you're still at the whim of the person you work for firing you or going in a completely different direction. So to me, financial freedom came for me when I opened up my own firm and I worked for myself and I control what I could do and what I can't do. And that's what real estate agents do every day. They don't even realize it, but they are on the road to financial freedom already by being a real estate agent, not working for somebody who can lay you off. So when you were in your 20s, what is the one thing looking back now that you wish that somebody had told you or you wish that you had already figured out in your 20s that would have put you quicker on this road to financial freedom?
Believe in yourself. Invest in yourself. I think the one thing that I've learned now that I wish I'd have known then is that like, okay, so let's say you want to be a teacher and you want to impact kids and you want to impact the world. Like you don't have to be in the role of public school teacher to impact kids. You could teach on YouTube. You could teach in a number of different ways. And so I would think there's a lot of different ways that you can accomplish an impact goal. It doesn't have to be like the standard process way. So I would say, I just wish people would be told more often that they have unique gifts and talents and that they should consider an alternate way of fulfilling those than go to college, become this, do this.
Yeah, college only costs like $80,000 a year now. So, yeah. You know, these kids get out of college owing $300,000 and $400,000 and then wonder why they don't have financial freedom anymore. There's got to be a better way. At some point, the whole college scheme is going to have to collapse. It cannot continue at this rail.
Yeah. So they could take the same $80,000. They can take their time and buy a property. So they could buy a property for $80,000 that's worth $150,000 or $160,000. They really take their time. That property can probably generate between $1,000 and $2,000 a month. And then they could take that and save that up. And over a few years, they buy another property. And that one purchase invested and reinvested like a 401k, where you're not actually collecting the profits for yourself, in a 10 to 20 year period can produce a retirement level of income by just simply not going to college. So my kids, I have four of them, they're going to have to stand before me and justify to me why they want to go to college, not the other way around. Like, right. There's going to be no push from my wife and I, like, you have to go to college. It's going to be like, hey, if you're going to go in $100,000 or $200,000 of debt, you have to justify and create a game plan for me of why that makes sense over investing in some properties that's going to automatically free you up over 10 or 20 years.
I would love to see across the country the top 5% of real estate agents, what the percentage of that went to college and which that didn't. I think it would surprise a lot of people, because I know a lot of top real estate agents who never went to college who are just absolutely killing it across this country.
100%. And salesmen in general.
Yeah, it would be a very interesting process. Well, what do you think it is right now that are keeping real estate agents from getting financial freedom or preventing them from getting to that point in their minds? Is it mindset or is it execution, laziness? What is it?
Mindset for sure. I don't think it's laziness, because, okay, so let's say we're talking about successful agents. Mm-hmm. Because unsuccessful agents, well, that there's a whole lot of reasons, right? So laziness might be one of them, but a successful agent is generally not lazy.
Right.
So for them, it's mindset. For me, here was my mindset issue. My mindset issue was, okay, I'm going to find this investment. I'm going to have to come up with the money, and then I'm going to have to invest the money. I'm going to have to do the repairs, put it back on the market, take the risk. And by the time I'm done, maybe I make a $40,000 or $50,000 profit. Okay. Well, if I sell the house twice, I make $20,000, $25,000. Why would I take all that time, effort, and risk to double my profit when I could just do two of them and take no risk? And so that was my big hurdle. And that's why my buddy kept messaging me, like, you got to do this. I'm like, no. And one thing I came to discover when I actually started doing it myself was, oh, it's not 40 grand for me. I could actually make 100 to 300 grand a deal. And then I could reinvest and I could do this. And not to mention, 1031 exchange eliminates the tax burden, right?
Right.
Well, I shouldn't say that's not accurate. And I'm not a CPA.
It postpones it,
right? Yeah. So bottom line was, is like, whoa, not only do I make this extra money, but like, I'm not paying taxes today on that money because I'm 1031 exchanging. So now I go from a $20,000 profit, which I will pay team members on, I'll pay a commission on, to $100,000 plus that I'm not. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, this is like financially, it's like 10 times better.
Okay. Well, what's the first step now, a real estate agent? We've talked about the problem. We've talked about we need to get to the financial freedom. So now real estate agents are listening, saying, so what do I need to do? What's my first step on this path toward getting that financial freedom?
I think take first steps are just tell yourself that you're an investor and then start telling other people. So a lot of times if you're a really successful agent, you're doing deals. And if you're doing deals, you're probably referring investment properties to somebody else. So stop doing that. Just buy them yourself. And you're like, well, I don't have the money. Well, then just go find one of the investors you would refer them to and say, hey, you know, I've given you some investment deals in the past. I want to do deals with you and I need you to provide the money. Are you in with me? And if not, then go to the next one. And you'll find a lot of investors start by they get all the money handed to them by a partner at 50-50, right? So you have to do two times as many, but you don't have to worry about the money. So I would say that's the first thing. Identify yourself as an investor, tell others, and then find a money partner. And then over time, you'll have enough money that you won't need a money partner.
So how do we convince real estate agents they're making a nice little income that they got to start leveraging some of that money to unlock that potential? Sometimes we have to take a step backwards economically to make a giant step forward. And I think for a lot of people, particularly those who are living pretty much paycheck to paycheck, to say, look, I'm going to have to take a cut on some of my lifestyle right now so that I can enjoy myself later. How do we get them to that point?
And first of all, they don't have to. Okay. So because if they're continuing to prospect, however they're getting deals, right? They're either prospecting, they're networking, whatever method you're using to get your real estate deals now, just do that in a way where you're more likely to get a deal that could be an investment. And so that's not going to cost you any extra money than what you're already doing. Getting the money from somebody is not going to cost you if you form it in a partnership sort of sense. So this should not cost them more. You should only make more because now you're making a bigger cut of the profit. So they can do it in a way that it would, but mm-hmm. I don't think they should or need to. So this should only make positive steps for them. And if it's their partner that's taking the financial risk, then that's not even a step back there. So I think it's literally just positive decisions moving forward.
And it doesn't sound like what you're doing is creating more time. If they're already working with investors, or they just notice these investment properties, instead of putting the deal together for somebody else and making commission, they're doing the same amount of work, putting the deal together for themselves and making the commission and making the purchase.
100%.
Okay. It's hustling. I get one of the best podcasts I had, Jess Lenable, who has a book out, Less Hustle, More Money. Does that concept also apply here?
Like 100%. Like, I mean, if you think about it, the average agent does not make $100,000 a year. And you can, in a lot of markets, make $100,000 on a deal. And so, like, when you think about the agents generally are going to have to do somewhere between 10 and 30 transactions to do 100K in income. You could do that on a single deal or three deals as an investor. So when you're talking about just sheer transaction volume, you're talking about a tenth, generally speaking, investment transactions to agent transactions to make the same money. That's 10 times less work.
But basically, if you just use the information and the knowledge that you already have, that, I think that's what the easy thing about this is that you're not telling agents to come up with some new teaching program, to come up with some new theory of how to list and sell property. It's taking the information that's at your fingertips, that's not at somebody else's fingertips because they don't have the license, using that information for your betterment and put the deals together for yourself instead of putting the deals together for investors. That's it.
100%. That's it. You're just putting your name on the offer instead of your client's name on the offer. And it's a lot easier because now you don't have to check in with your clients. It actually saves you time because you're just talking to yourself.
Wow. So guys, you know, you're sitting here listening to this podcast. I thought we were going to have some big convoluted pathway to get to where you want to be. It's very simple. And I think what we're finding in real estate is oftentimes the simplest way is oftentimes the best way. And this seems to be taking your knowledge, your understanding of how things are, but mainly the information that you're getting from the multiple listing services you're getting in the marketplace and applying it to yourself instead of passing these deals along to somebody else. And that's the pathway to financial freedom. Well, in the time that we have left, because this has been very informative, talk to me a few minutes about Freedom Chasers podcast. What's it about and how did it come about?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the greatest things that I feel like I can aspire to is just to help the people that were in the situation I was in 5 or 10 years ago and to just make the world a better place. And so for me, I had such a difficult time with this, like, I'm not able to do the things that I want to, that I want to give that opportunity to others. So the vision behind it is we continue to put out podcasts daily to inspire people with different stories and strategies, et cetera, so that hopefully they could take the actions that will get them to freedom. Because like, I'm a very happy man when I hear stories about people that were like, hey, I was tied to this job or I had this going on and then I just made a decision. I escaped it. Now I'm living a life on my own terms. That brings me an incredible amount of joy because I know what that feels like for me. And so that's our mission.
And so you're bringing in great guests who have been entrepreneurs in their own right and can share these types of stories and inspirations.
Yeah. I mean, nearly every one of our guests is a 6 or 7 figure a year income earner or net worth. And so not everybody, but many of them had difficult struggles. I mean, we had people that didn't graduate high school. We had people that were, you know, had learning disabilities and were told all kinds of things when they were young and they, you know, they surpassed it. So many, many, many stories that are just, I mean, really heartwarming, you know, where people were not expected to succeed, but with a little bit of elbow grease and some risk, they changed their life.
So freedom, financial freedom is available to anyone who's willing to put forth the effort and take the risk.
100%.
And you're already taking the risk, real estate agents. You're in the most risky job possible. Just look at it from this year compared to last year. I mean, it's a risky job. Let's face it. So you're not risk adverse as you think you are. If people want to find your podcast or follow you, how do they do so?
I mean, you could search Freedom Chasers Podcast on any of the platforms. Now, Matt Cavanaugh is my name. And so if you want to connect with me, you could do so. My favorite platform to connect on is Facebook. So reach out to me on Facebook. But if not, go ahead, Freedom Chasers Podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you find podcasts.
Awesome. Matt, I really appreciate you being with us. Very great information, but very simple to take in and to apply to oneself. So that's what I like about the best advice is not coming here with some crazy roadmap, coming here with very easy to apply advice. And that's exactly what you did. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, brother.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have left for our show today. You'll continue to support Dish and Dirt by liking us, sharing us, and subscribing and telling all of the other real estate agents you know about Dish and Dirt. And also send a few closings over to Blair Cater. That would also help as well. Hope you all have a wonderful weekend. See you again next week.